Okay, so tonight we are going to look at the subject of evangelism. And how many times have you heard somebody talking about evangelism? I think we've all heard a lot about evangelism. And tonight, really, I would like to look at perhaps a different angle on what it means to reach out to people with the love of God. And firstly, I want you to think about how you came to know Jesus. All of us have been on a different journey, and all of us came to faith through different means. So how, just think about it in your mind. How did you come to know Jesus? Think back until that time where you heard the gospel for the first time and where you understood it, the impact that that had. I can remember when I became a Christian, and it was just the most amazing experience. But thinking about it, there were people along the way that were significant in me coming to faith. It wasn't just a kind of a voice from heaven that spoke to me. Actually, there were people that were involved and people that were instrumental, links in the chain, as it were, for me coming to faith. And I'm sure that that must be the same for you. Is it? Same for you? Yeah. So I don't know whether you were invited to a church service or whether it was a large Christian event, or maybe it was just that somebody loved you enough to reach out and share Jesus with you. Maybe in a conversation, maybe it was in a life group, maybe it was in an event that happened at church. But more often than not, people come to faith because they have an interaction with somebody. There's an invitation. And tonight we want to talk a little about, you know, what it means to actually have a relational evangelism, which is, you know, one-to-one. People do come to big events and people do get saved, but I know from experience that you can have an event where many people come. Sometimes there's a big response, but the week after, very little fruit sometimes, and people don't often or sometimes follow up with it. But I think having a personal evangelism, one-to-one, where you're building a relationship, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and there's a personal invitation, it has a much higher rate of people sticking, because Jesus said that we're to go and make disciples, didn't he? So that's in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And this is the Great Commission. So it says here, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age.'" So we know, don't we, for us as sons and daughters of God, that we are commissioned to go and share the gospel. But I'm also aware that there is probably no more scarier word that we use in church than that word, evangelism. Am I right? Because it conjures up, doesn't it, a lot of things that we think we have to do or we have to be like, or, I mean, for some of us, it is frightening. And, you know, I want to say I understand that. So I want to look just quickly, why do we feel so intimidated at times when we think about evangelism? And I think one of the first things is that when we reach out and talk to people, there's a fear that we're going to be rejected. What are people going to think of us? What are our friends, family going to think of us? Sometimes we don't reach out to others because we don't want to be known as the person that rams the Bible and Christianity or faith down people's throats. sometimes also, I think evangelism, we think, oh my goodness, there's a pressure on us to do something. Have you ever felt like that? It's like, oh, I know I should be doing it, but it's awkward. I'm not sure how to do it. And therefore, I feel that I'm under pressure to perform. And that's not a good place, is it, to be, when you know that you feel that you should be doing something, but it's not. And I've put that, you know, awkward. It's you can feel like that. It's not good. And you know, I think also sometimes we think that well, maybe if I share the gospel with somebody and I don't know what to say, maybe I will let that person down. And maybe that person won't actually come through to be a Christian because of my lack of ability as well. Sometimes we lack our own sense, don't we, of confidence about, you know, do I really know what to say? If they ask me a question, would I be able to answer it? And I can say that, you know, for me, I have felt all of those emotions. And I'm sure I would think that some of you have as well. I know what it's like. It's can be difficult. I was sharing today. Yesterday, I took my dad down to Brighton, and he's in hospital. And it was at the end of the day, and there was just me and my dad and another guy sitting in the waiting room. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, "He lives in Horsham." So I thought, "Oh, that's interesting." So anyway, I'm kind of hearing a conversation that's going on with this guy saying that he hasn't got any transport to go back to where he lives, and you know, they said it's going to be 2 or 3 hours for him, and it was getting late in the day. So I just said to him, "Oh, so where do you live?" And he said, "Oh, I live in Horsham." I was like, "Okay, so this is interesting." And obviously, God's got a plan here. And I said to him, "Well, I'm leaving to go back to Horsham in 5 minutes. You know, I can give you a lift." Apparently, he went and spoke to the receptionist, and she said, "Oh, are you sure? Maybe he's an axe-wielding, you know, murderer." And we were talking about this as we were driving in the car, and I said to him, "Yeah, but you could also be axe-wielding." And we were kind of laughing. And so here we are. I'm in the car with him, and I'm thinking, okay, how do I break open the conversation here, because obviously God's in this. And we start to talk about his family, and we start to talk about various things, and then I say to him, you know, "Are you a person of faith?" I always think actually that's quite a good question to ask, because what are we doing? You're testing. It's not like, "Oh, do you know the Lord Jesus, and would you like to bow the knee and give your heart to him?" But it's testing, isn't it? And he said to me, "Well, I'm open." He said, "I'm not against, I'm not for, but I'm open." And so I was able to kind of just talk a little bit about my testimony, and I didn't lead him to the Lord. But when he got out of the car, he said, "Thank you so much for giving me the lift, and thank you so much for all that you shared." He said, "I feel really encouraged and upbuilt by just meeting you and having a conversation." He said, "And you know what, I'm not just saying this." He said, "You know, I'd like to come to church sometime and, you know, kind of just maybe get to know you guys a bit more." I gave him my name and gave him my telephone number and gave it to him. You know, that wasn't, when he said, "Oh, I felt really good," that wasn't me, that was the Lord. And it's difficult, isn't it, sometimes to break open situations and break open conversations. But I think half of it is just in our minds, you know, being in a place where we're with people and just say, "Well, is it the right time, Lord? Do you want me to speak?" And it was great. I knew that God was in that situation. John 6:43-44 says, "Stop grumbling amongst yourselves." Jesus replied, "No man comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. As it was written in the prophets, 'And they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard from the Father and learned from me comes to me.'" So one of the things I want to say is, is that we need to be reminded that it's a work of God for people to be drawn to him. We're thinking of evangelism, we're putting pressure on ourselves. We've got to do this and we've got to do that. Actually, it's a work, it's a sovereign work of God. Because unless God draws people to himself, they're not going to come through. There's a charge to us, which is to share and to talk and to open and to test. So when I just said to him, "Are you a person of faith?" I'm pressing and I'm waiting to hear what the answer is. No, I don't. I'm not interested at all. Or I don't. But you know what I mean? Then you kind of just back off and leave it. But you know, it has God prepared their hearts? And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how life group can be a great place to encourage one another, but to bring people into our groups as well. But I want to just say, you know, God's not putting pressure on you, and I'm not putting pressure on you tonight. It's a work of God. 1 Corinthians 3:6-8 says, "My job was to plant the seed, and Apollos was called to water it. Any growth comes from God. So the ones that water and plant have nothing to brag about. God, who causes the growth, is the only one who matters. The one who plants is no greater than the one who waters. Both will be rewarded based on their work." So evangelism is about planting seeds and about watering those seeds and God giving the increase. And it is God alone that makes the seeds grow, those seeds that we're planting. So I guess one question would be, are we planting the seeds? It can be just so simple, can't it? Just speaking into somebody's life, a kind action. Those are the seeds that we're planting. There's no pressure on you to try to get that person to come right through. We have to say, God, it's up to you. You've got to draw men to yourself. But are we planting the seeds? I guess that's one of the questions that we can answer. Knowing that God is the author of salvation. He's the one. He's the author of salvation. That takes the pressure off us. He's the one that makes the seed grow. And I think if we can understand this, that concept about evangelism, then we're going to look at things differently. We're going to not be so pressurized or feel so guilty. Actually, am I doing enough, or did I do it right? No, if we're planting the seeds, just simply planting the seeds, it's up to God then to do the rest. And, you know, it's not an exercise of winning or losing, succeeding or failing, or, you know, this thing of rejection. But actually, when we realize that God is the author of salvation, it's like now we are partnering with him, which is a much healthier way of looking at it. It's not you out there on your own, just doing your own thing. I've got to win these people. It's kind of, God, I'm going to plant the seed, but you need to water it. You need to bring the growth. So we're working together in doing it. So it's you and God now, not just you on your own, striving. You know, I've got to make it happen. It's a much more healthier and beautiful way of thinking about how can I win the lost. And evangelism is about sharing the hope that you have in your life. It's letting people know that they're worth everything to God. I mean, what greater message is there for people to know that those people, they are worth everything to him? I mean, that's a simple message, but, you know, it's life transforming to people. And, you know, you might feel, okay, you've said all that, but the idea of evangelism, it still scares me to death. And each of us that are in life groups, we all know people that need to come into relationship with God. Because some people say, well, actually, I don't come into contact. There are people that we meet that are in the cafes where we buy our coffee every day. There are people that we meet in the schools. There are people that colleagues, family members, neighbors, or even people that you might meet in the hospital. There are people out there that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us too. And Life Group is a great place to bring those requests and bring those people that have laid God's on God's heart and say, guys, can you pray with me? I want to bring these people that I'm seeking God for, or I met this person. Can we pray together for this person to come right through? So you can encourage one another. So it's not just you doing that, but you can encourage one another to do it, and you can keep each other accountable. Actually, did you go and meet that person, or how's it going with building relationship with that person? It's a great opportunity to encourage one another in life groups. You don't have to stand on the street corner. There are people that you can engage with, friends, family, neighbours. You don't need to go into the middle of the town and shout down the street. There are people actually around us. So here's the big question. What do you need to be the greatest evangelist that the world has ever seen? It's easy. It's your story. It's what's happened to you. That's so powerful. You know, I think sometimes we think that we have to memorize 1,000 scriptures. We have to become sort of some astrophysicist so that we can tell people how the world was created. You know, what happens if they ask me a question? But, you know, the greatest tool that you have, that I have, that we have, is to tell people about how our lives have been transformed, the peace of God that we have, the love that we found in having a relationship with God, how our sins have been forgiven, or whatever it is. Because every single one of you has got an individual story, and that is one of the most powerful tools that you can use. So don't believe the lie of the enemy that says, I need to do this, I need to be this, I'll wait until I've been to Bible school. You don't need to go to Bible school to tell somebody about how God has transformed your life. And what is it? It's not works, it's just sowing seeds. And it's being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying, but it's actually going out and thinking, actually, maybe God does want me to talk to somebody, engage with somebody today. I mean, I could have just driven that guy home and we could have just had a nice chat. But God wants to use you, doesn't he? He wants to use you because that's the commission that we've been given by God. Okay, so I just want to look at six very, very quick practical points just to look at. And then we're going to break off into our groups. So I'm thinking about how we can practically reach out to others, something that we can make evangelism part of what we do normally, you know, in our lives and in our life groups. One of the things that I really want to encourage is let's make reaching out to others and praying for the lost and just a regular cultural part of what we do in our life groups, to encourage one another and spur one another on, you know, to reach those people that don't have the treasure that we have, which is to know Jesus. We're so blessed, we really are, to have this relationship with God. So we're talking about relational evangelism. So it's not lots and lots of programs. Programs are really good, events are really good, but we're talking about how we can invite, how we can testify, how we personally can share. It's one-to-one. As I said, it's more statistically, it's there's a greater return when, rather than just giving lots and lots of leaflets out on the street and inviting people to but when you have a personal invitation, it means much more. So the first thing I want to say is about building deep relationships with people. That's point number one. People are searching desperately for God's unconditional love. You know, the world is changing and there's lots of things going on, but you know, in the core of every person, there's a need to be loved, there's a need to be recognized, there's a need to kind of just understand those, what am I here for and what's the purpose of life? You know, what's it all about? And do you know what? You've got the answer, because the person who lives inside of you is the answer to that, Jesus. People want unconditional love from God. So they're going to experience it through you. So I want to, you know, build deep relationships with people where it's possible. Show God's love to those people that you're praying for. So I know that some of you groups do, but, you know, highlight some people that God has put on your heart to pray for. Pray for those people personally. Bring it to your group and pray. And invest in those people because God wants to use you for his love to be shown. You know what? You might not see yourself as a spiritual giant, but you can love somebody, can't you? God can use absolutely every single one of us. So we might think, actually, I've only been a Christian a week. God can still use you very powerfully. Show love to those people. We live in a world, you know, with Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and it goes on and on and on. The world has a lot of communication, but actually deep relationship. I was talking to this guy as I was driving along the road, and he said, oh no, you know, English people, they, you know, come home at night, lock the door, that's it, you know, we that's our place, and we just, that's it, we're in there for the evening and we don't want anybody else. And I was saying to him, I said, well, actually, we're trying to encourage a lot more community and living together and having people around and kind of just fighting against that thing of, you know, this is... And he was saying he used to live in Greece, and there are a lot more kind of... He said people, when I moved into the village, someone came and knocked on the door, and they literally dragged me to come and spend the evening with them and having a barbecue. And he said it was actually wonderful. This is this English guy. You know, it's... It was wonderful because actually he was being brought into community. And I'm not saying that we go and knock on our neighbors and drag them in. But, you know, what we have to offer in our life groups is really special. So we have meals, we have various things that are going on. And it's really good to know, to hear and to see that people do come. Maybe people that aren't even coming to the church, but they will come to a meal and they're going to experience that life. Bring them to your life groups when you have social events going on. Love upon people. Love upon them because they're going to experience something really different in that context than they would experience outside. Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Interesting, if you look there, it says that they were casting the net. It wasn't, you know, when you go down to the fishing lake and you see one lone guy with a rod just sitting there. But I think when Jesus was saying about us being fishers of men, it was like all of them together were casting the net. There was something about people working together to achieve the catch, so to speak. And that's what God wants to use all of us. He wants to use the life of his Spirit in the communities that we have to be a part of reaching out to others. So... are we planting the seeds and are we inviting people to come? Okay, number two is my fridge is your fridge. So you heard that? having people over into your home. And one of the great things that I learned from Ali's mum, who was very good at this, she would just open her home and people would come round and she would say to guests, oh, you go and make a cup of tea. I was like, what? But you know what that kind of thing does? It makes people... You makes people feel relaxed and at home and part of what's going on rather than fussing around people and, you know, well, you're a guest. Actually, there's a point where people don't want to be a guest anymore. They want to be part of the family. And your mum was very good at that. So I just want to encourage you, you know, to when we have people coming in, make them feel part. It's not bad to say, could you do something? Because it makes them I'm not saying use and abuse. You understand what I'm saying? But make them feel part of the family. Hospitality is very important. And Hebrews 13, verse 2, talks about, you know, actually it's about entertaining and actually not realizing it, but we may have even entertained angels. How awesome is that to have entertained an angel? I don't know how that would be. That would be, but opening our homes and bringing people into our homes, inviting people to come in, get people into your homes, love them, and be normal with them. Invite them to a group, a social event. invite to one of the lunches, and I know other groups do this, but invite your Christian friends and your non-Christian friends, mix them all up, and talk about the Lord. You know, I was saying today to somebody, you know, sometimes we get with our Christian friends and we talk about God, but then when our non-Christian friends come, we kind of just change the conversation. And actually, it's really good to find a way where you can be with your non-Christian friends, but kind of just talk about the Lord naturally. Well, I mean, not in a crazy way, but in a way that's just normal and natural. You know, I've been praying about this thing, or this thing's been going on, or this is what's been happening at church. Or do you understand what I mean? Sometimes we don't do that because we just think, are they really going to get it because they're not Christian? But got to kind of expose. This is our life, isn't it? It's not just something we do on a Sunday. God affects every single part of our lives. So I just want to encourage you. You know, that's a part of evangelism. It's just being normal and open and sharing with people. And just to be aware of that. And thirdly, have you prayed for yourself? You know, so we're so good at praying for the lost. But actually, it's quite good to be praying for us for boldness. And it says in Acts 4, 29 to 30, "And now, Lord, consider their threats and threats and enable your servants to speak your word with complete boldness." So sometimes it's actually good. God, please do a work in my life so that I can be bold. Sometimes we're praying more for other people and we forget actually to ask God, please make me bold. Every day, please make me bold. Give me the wisdom to open up a conversation. Help me in that. So pray for yourself. Fourthly, pray for those that God has put on your heart. So how often do we pray for our friends and family and those that God is drawing to himself? So I've said about drawing up a list. Two or three people, maybe a neighbor, maybe a work colleague, maybe somebody that's on your heart. Good just to be regularly praying for these people. Bring them to the group. You know, share with one of these are the people that God's put on my heart. Would you please support me? Would you please help me? Would you pray with me so that we can see them come right through? They might not even come to the church. They might not even join the group. What we want is people in the kingdom, isn't it? We want people to come into the fullness of life that God has for them, each and every one. So bring them and keep praying. Don't give up on people and get discouraged if they don't come. Apparently, it takes between 6 and 8 invitations for somebody to come to something. Now, I want to say that because sometimes we invite once and they say no. Or sometimes we invite and they say yes, and we've all been there, and then it comes to the evening, and what happens? They don't turn up. So I want to just say that isn't that you've done anything bad or that the event is naff. expect it. Don't be discouraged and think, oh, well, I've invited once, therefore I'm not going to invite again. Think, I'm going to invite, and they're likely maybe just to blow out. Invite again. And they might even blow out. Invite again. Invite again. Okay, so invite, invite, invite. That was actually my sixth point. So don't give up. I'm going back to number 5. And then I'm finishing. Invite, invite, invite. Don't give up when people blow out, okay? Because I know how it's discouraging, isn't it? You just think, oh, I've got all my strength and all the courage that I have to reach out and invite, and they've let me down. But you know, it's intimidating sometimes for some people to come into a church service, or intimidating to come to a group. But that's why it's important to build those bridges, those personal bridges. And lastly, which is point five. So I went from 1, 2, 3, 4 to 6, and then I'm back to 5. So, okay, I am covering my 6 points. I'm going to finish with this, which is 9:01. So share a relevant message. Think about, you know, if you were, and I have been in hospital with people that are dying, share a relevant message with people. What would you tell somebody if you were actually with them and they were dying and they're there saying, tell me about the Lord? You're going to tell them, you know, that Jesus loves them, that you know, that forgiveness is found in him. And you know, think about how we're going to share. And you might not be with people that are on their deathbed about to go into eternity, but share with people about the passion that you have for God, what God's done for you, the hope that you have, the purpose that God's given you, the direction now that your life has taken on, and how you've now come to know, or whatever it is, that peace that passes all understanding, that comes from knowing that our sins are forgiven. I tell you, people are desperate for that, because the world is in great turmoil. It's a place of great instability and a lot of fear around. But you know, we can know that perfect peace. We have found that perfect peace. So share, be ready to share messages of hope with people and with your friends. So just to finish with them, keep your friends and your those that you're praying for, keep them in mind, pray for them, build friendships, and create opportunities just to share, when appropriate, the faith that you have and the love that you've received of God. Use your life groups as a means to encourage one another, strengthen one another, but bringing people in. And remember, it's not your job to get people saved. It's your job to plant the seeds, and it's God's work, his work of his Holy Spirit, to make those seeds grow. Okay? But you're partnering with God in this. Amen.